you get a break. The reading this morning is from Isaiah 59, chapter 59, verses 1 through 9. Separation from God. Behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, nor is his ear so dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken falsehood. Your tongue mutters wickedness. No one sues righteously, and no one pleads honestly. They trust in confusion and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch adders, eggs, and weave the spider's web. He who eats of their eggs dies, and from that which is crushed a snake breaks forth. Their webs will not become clothing, nor will they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and an act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they hasten to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Devastation and destruction are in their highways. They do not know the way of peace, and there is no justice in their tracks. They have made their paths crooked. Whoever treads on them does not know peace. Therefore, justice is far from us, and righteousness does not overtake us. We hope for light, but behold darkness. For brightness, we walk in the gloom. You may be seated.
Thank you, Brother Jonathan. I even like your haircut, too. I appreciate you reading that for us. God's plan of salvation, the truth of the matter, and this is part two of this. We're going kind of back to the basics to dispute what many call false doctrine of the church, in which we are associated with, in which we are members, and we're going to try to do our best using scripture. Well, we're not going to do our best. We're going to prove that this is a truthful doctrine. Last week we looked at what we believe in the Church of Christ is God's plan of salvation, that is through hearing, believing, confessing, repenting, and baptism. And the intent of this is to point out that this doctrine is truth, and it is not false, as some claim, and we're going to use the Holy Bible to do that. But first, I thought it was important for us to note the necessity of God's plan of salvation and the why. Isaiah 59:2, which we just had read in our hearing, but your iniquities, that is your sin, have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Because God is holy, he cannot have any part of our sin. His holiness and our sin are polar opposites, like positive and negative, like light and darkness, and his face will turn away from us if we walk in darkness. So that is, if we are in sin or if we remain in sin. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. This then is the message which we have received of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now notice that word cleanseth, and that's an important word for us to understand. And then with that in mind, just skip on down to 1 John, same chapter, and verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now that original Greek word, and that's what the New Testament scripture was written in here in the Greek, it comes from this particular word, and it means to cleanse, to make clean, to purge, to purify. If you're dirty, what do? Well, most of us, what do? We don't wait till Saturday night. Hopefully we do it through the week. I always told my students at school, I can't wait till Saturday because I really need a bath, but they didn't get it. It was old fashioned, I guess. But if we're dirty, what do? We clean ourselves. We take a bath. We wash ourselves. And we wash the dirt away. How does this cleansing that we're talking about spiritually take place? He says in verse 7, by the blood of Jesus Christ. How would we be, now I'm going to ask this question, how would we be cleansed by his blood by simply asking him into our heart? How would we be cleansed by his blood by simply just asking him into our heart? Let's think logically. Thinking logically, we wouldn't be cleansed. We would still be in darkness because nothing has been washed. If I say, you know, I just got out and I worked and I need to take a bath, am I clean? If I say, a bath will clean me, am I clean? No. We would still be walking in darkness. We would still be dirty. Nothing has been washed. Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, and I don't know why I had such a struggle putting this together on this lesson outline, but I did. I don't know for whatever reason. But Acts chapter 22 and verse 16 is not up on the slide, but it says, arise, be baptized, and wash away thy sins. This cleansing requires the contact of this blood that we talked about, and the message is that cleansing occurs through baptism. Look at 1 Peter when you get a chance, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. But until then, until this baptism, we still walk in darkness. Our sin separates us from God. Who has sin? And how serious is this separation from God? When we look at the scripture, and I'm going to utilize the scripture throughout, when we look at the scripture, it seems to me, and it seems clear to everyone, that no one is without sin. Look at 1 John chapter 1 again, and then we're going to read, along with verse 9, we're going to read 8 and 10. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. There first has to be a cleansing before we'll be cleansed from all that unrighteousness. And then there's some other things that we need to do that this clearly outlines. But one thing that it outlines is that we are all in sin. Look at Romans chapter 3, or we have all sinned. Look at Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. How serious then is this separation? This separation from God. How serious is it that our sin separates us from God? Look at Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. These are familiar verses to you. But look at the first part of that verse 23. It says, for the wages of sin is death. The wages, that's what we've earned. We've earned death because of our sin. But the gift of God, if we look at Romans chapter 6, 23, and the latter part of that, it says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. How do we overcome this judgment that we have gotten because of our sin, or that we're in because of our sin. We do it through the obedience of God's will. How do we receive that gift? Being baptized by the cleansing of his blood. Those that claim the Church of Christ doctrine regarding salvation is false, they try to use, and I guess if I was in their shoes, I would too. I would try to use scripture to verify what I'm trying to say. However, they proclaim it by selecting and pulling scripture from place to place without using the complete message from the Bible. It's important for us to understand that the Bible is fluid. It is inspired. It is complete. From Genesis to Revelation, it is a book regarding God's plan of salvation. From page 1 to the end of the chapter in Revelation, the very last page of the Bible, it is complete. And we have to put it all together to understand that. But before we do that, let's make another point regarding what the Church of Christ believes. The church that we could say Christ Church. The church has a message. And that message is the completeness of God's plan of salvation using the entire scripture. Well, let's look at that versus what many teach regarding salvation. That is, simply offer this prayer and ask Jesus into your heart. And it's said similar to that, which, by the way, just simply can't be found in the Bible. Let's suppose a son comes to his father and says, "Dad, can I spend the night at Johnny's house tonight?" And the dad replies, "You know, son, you have a lot of things to do tomorrow. You have several obligations. And I expect you to help me with the chores in the morning." So the answer is no. Then the boy goes to his mother. And he asks his mother the same question, only with just a slight twist on it. And he does it in such a way that it touches her heartstrings, so he'll be allowed to do what he wants to do. "Mom, may I pretty please spend the night at Johnny's house tonight?" And she buys into it and says, "Yes, you may." Now that seems innocent enough, doesn't it? It may even happen to you and your spouse at one time. However, when you further analyze the situation, you realize that his mother has just regarded the authority of the father, or is completely oblivious to what the father may be thinking. There's bound to be conflict between the parents, or we're witnessing just simply no connection whatsoever between the two, and they are out of sync. They're out of harmony when it comes to raising their child. But neither of these would make any sense, would they? Jesus himself used some logic and common sense when the Pharisees claimed that he got his power from Beelzebub. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 25, now you're going to get a connection here, hopefully. If not, go back to the notes. You can get those now and read that again. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 25. "And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand." Jesus told Nicodemus, he says in John chapter 3 and verses 3 through 5, "Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Jesus said in Mark, and we used this last week, in Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. It seems to me when I read these verses and I carefully analyze what is said here, that the Savior himself is saying that without baptism, there isn't salvation. That's a clear message that we need to send people. A clear message. Without baptism, there isn't salvation. Paul says something here in Romans chapter 10 and verses 9 and 10. Now listen. He says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness. And with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. What doesn't he mention here? What doesn't he say anything about? Baptism. He doesn't mention baptism at all. Can we conclude that Paul has more authority than the author of salvation? Or isn't connected with the master teacher? Now think about this. Paul was given a ministry by Jesus himself, wasn't he? And one of the first things Paul did when he realized his situation was to be baptized. Can we say that Paul has more authority than Jesus? Can we say that he's out of step, not in sync, out of harmony with the master teacher, the Savior of humanity? Is he disqualifying Jesus' authority in Romans chapter 10 here? And his command for baptism that he made in Mark chapter 16, verse 16? God forbid. Common sense tells us otherwise. Paul, without saying it, is saying this simply. That if people reach the steps of believing and confessing, that these will result to the obedience of the gospel plan of salvation through baptism. That is, through this cleansing of the blood of Jesus Christ. Common sense and logic will help us understand the Bible. A lot. It really will. The idea of God's plan of salvation is one of harmony. It's not one of confusion. It's not one of canceling someone's authority, especially that of Christ. And to do otherwise, we would have to cancel every page of the Bible by following a different doctrine. Okay, from this lesson, what have we learned? The fall of man is sin, and that sin separates us from God. God can have no part of darkness, that is our sin. The perfect plan of salvation is harmonized together in the completeness of the Scriptures. That harmony was brought about by the cleansing blood of Christ, which cleanses man of his sin, that is the washing, through baptism. And finally, Paul carried the same message of salvation as did Jesus the Christ. And they worked in sync and were in harmony. Now next week, Lord willing, we will continue this study and we'll use the complete, I want to use an illustration that will help us understand where something is written in one of the gospel, all four of the gospels have something different. But how that they are complete and how that they are united. But we're going to use the complete fluidity of the inspired word to understand what we believe. And that's important for us if we're going to reach out to people with biblical salvation. That's really important for us to understand that. But we'll put that off to next week, Lord willing. I appreciate your listening this morning. I know this lesson was a lot shorter than most, but it is one of just common sense and one of logic and really one that goes back to the basics, which is really important for us to bring to the forefront as we try to help others who are lost. Now,